Would you join me in prayer?
Lord, thank you, Father, for what I really believe was a bit of some spiritual warfare tonight, Lord. The enemy is doing what he can to bring discouragement to people, to churches, to families. And so, Lord, we just stand in the gap. We keep reminding ourselves on Tuesday nights, Lord, in the book of Ezekiel, there was the exiled in Babylon, and the Lord said to Ezekiel, I looked for just one person broken for the sin of the people of Israel in exile there in Babylon. Just one that would stand in the gap, and I found no one. And then at the same time in Jerusalem, Lord, you spoke to Jeremiah, search on the rooftops, down every street, look and find me just one who is broken for the sin there in Jerusalem. And he could find none. Both instances, God said, I would have spared the city. So, Lord, as long as we here at 350 South Rock Boulevard are mindful, Lord, of a nation that is moving away from you at a great pace and that are broken for it, and that either on our own or on a Tuesday night or sometimes on Wednesdays when we pray these prayers and sing these songs, Lord, I believe it is way more powerful than we even have a glimmer of an imagination. Lots of folks do in church. Praise God for that. But Lord, we pray, Father, you would awaken more and more intercessors. Those that can look through the headlines and see to the spiritual condition of this nation, Lord. The problem is not in Washington. It's not in Carson City. And it's not over here off of 9th Street. I believe the problem is the Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ in Washoe County and in Nevada. There's just plain few people broken for our own sin and the sin of this nation. Oh God, this nation needs you. And when yet another awful tragedy of a school shooting, and people throw their hands up in a great sense of despair, but we did a Bible study on that one time. There's a time in Israel when you lowered your head to protection because of their sin. And they cried out, we cannot even protect our own children. That's not because you, Lord, are a monster. That's because this nation will not repent from what we love and all the sin that this nation exports. So much of what God hates, this nation exports with great volume. Oh, Jesus, this nation desperately needs you and needs revival. Jesus, pour out, Lord God. Borrowing a page from Daniel chapter 9, we, Lord, have sinned. We, Lord, have thought that our military and our economy, Lord, our business acumen and invention, we believe that we are responsible for any blessing in this nation, and we have forgotten you, Lord. And this shepherd weeps, Lord. This shepherd cries out, oh, God, we have sinned. Oh, have we sinned. Oh, Lord Jesus. By your grace, Lord, we're going to see a wonderful example of what if a human being got everything he ever wanted, would that make him happy? And we're going to see what that scientific experiment resulted in. And Lord, help us to, I pray, Father, to see this time together tonight, to see our time in the Word, and not say, wasn't that an interesting intellectual endeavor? I pray, Lord God, that we would find application for me tonight, for my family, for the challenges that I'm facing that you have allowed. And I pray, Lord God, that you would remind all of us again, if there's anything good happening anywhere, it's because you did it, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from our loving Heavenly Father of lights, says the book of James. And Lord, that there's any blessing at all in this United States, Lord, a testimony to your great and endless mercy. But oh God, we pray in Jesus' name, wake this nation up. We can't protect our own children. And that has happened before. What did Israel do with that? What will we as a nation do with that? I pray here in Northern Nevada that this church, this fellowship, this family, Lord God, takes that to heart and prays accordingly. Pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you, your heart sank? Another shooting? More deaths of kids? Maybe have to dig that message out. We did it a couple years ago. And did you know that Israel couldn't protect their children either? And they're like, what's going on, God? And they cried out to God. And then God says, here's what you have to do. Did Israel make those changes? No, they didn't. Ezekiel chapter 22, everybody, quickly. Israel is in Babylon. Jeremiah told them, Israel, if you don't drop this idol itch you guys have in exploiting the poor for financial gain and the upper 1% making the lives of the rest of Israel miserable, God says, I hate that. And Jeremiah told him, I'm going to bring the Babylonians, and he did. And in the second siege of Jerusalem, Ezekiel is carried away. And in the exile, the people are still listening to the prosperity false teachers. They're prophesying, we're not going to be here that long. Peace and prosperity, that's what God wants for us. Two sieges have happened. We know there's a third one coming. Now watch this, with that hanging out in the air, verse 30, Ezekiel 22, verse 30. So I sought for a man among them, the exiles in Babylon, who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land in Israel, overrun with Babylonians at the moment, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Think this through. If there was just one, the third siege of Jerusalem that resulted in the destruction of the temple on the 9th of Av, Solomon's temple, would have been avoided. If there was just one. In your margin here, write Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5, about the same time, Jeremiah was not deported. He's there in Jerusalem. And with Babylonian police officers on every corner, two sieges have happened. Hundreds of thousands have died. Most of them have been carted off to Babylon. And the few remaining, do you think they're finally getting the idea to repent for their sins? This is now in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, Jeremiah, and see now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find one, a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, I will pardon her. That's Jerusalem. Did he find anyone? No. And then something that gives me a chill. Both in Jerusalem, he tells Jeremiah, and in Babylon, he tells Ezekiel, stop praying for mercy. Stop. Don't pray any longer for mercy. Why? Because if there was just one, he would have stopped. So I want Jeremiah, you in Jerusalem, and Ezekiel, you in Babylon, no longer is your message, please repent and cry out for God's mercy and forgiveness. Your message now is changed. It is different. Prepare the people for judgment. Now, that's not a seeker-friendly message, is it? Would you join me in prayer one more time? Oh, God. Oh, God, we cannot protect our own children. Sandy Hook, Florida, the list goes on and on and on. Lord, you are our protection. You are the one, Lord, who staves off disaster and inroads of the evil one into our lives, our families, our cities, our schools. And all those years ago, in September 2001, for 2 weeks, the nation called out to you, Lord. 2 weeks. And there were the Democrats and the Republicans on the steps of the Supreme Court building across the street from the Capitol, singing, many of them in tears, Amazing Grace. And now, Lord, look at us. We cannot even govern, it seems, our own nation. You, Lord, are our protection. You, Lord, are our shield. And this is not solely for the purpose of shock and awe. This is you, Lord, with a broken heart, because the same school systems are teaching what they're teaching and opening the door more and more to the animalistic and to the demonic. And then we wonder why the violence soon follows. This nation, Lord, is sick. According to Romans chapter 1, Lord, we as a nation have already been given over. One more stop, you guys. Isaiah chapter 5. Sometimes people ask me, hey, Pastor Steve, do you ever see America in the Bible? Yes. And here it is. Chapter 5, book of Isaiah, please, real quickly. There's a problem. There are huge, huge problems. Well, what's the problem? Look at verse number 5. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. Speaking of Jerusalem, and I will lay it waste. This is Isaiah, 700 BC. The Babylonians are a little over 100 years away. For there shall come up briars and thorns. Speaking of the 70 years they'll be gone in exile. I will also command the clouds that the rain would not fall. Well, why? Verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord, Israel, that's who Israel is, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, he found oppression. For righteousness, but behold, there was a cry for help. Six woes. Is America in Scripture? You tell me. Verse number 8. Woe to those who join house to house and add field to field. Materialism. Do you know how hard it is for a young person starting out to buy a home, not only in Nevada, but practically anywhere else? That is a symptom. Part of the problem is because rich people are buying up what we would determine as affordable housing as a rule, because what they want to do is rent it out for vacations and verbos. Some communities have outlawed that. Tahoe is trying, and it's now in discussion in Reno and Sparks. Look at this. They won't give up their homes because of profit. And did you know that it is impossible on a teacher, fireman, policeman, single income to afford a median-priced house in Reno Sparks? Teachers, firemen, policemen. And that's not to mention restaurant workers and service people of all kind. It is too expensive for them, single income only, to afford a house. Woe to those who join house to house and they add field to field, but the people are getting poorer and poorer. And there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. Skip down to verse 11. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink. That's pleasure seeking. Have you noticed the strong pull of Instagram flip or the short YouTube thing that you watch 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and you look up and it's 3 hours later? Have you gone down that rabbit hole? There's something powerful about that draw, that intense sort of engagement, video after video. Oh, and that's right. And then they slip in those awful ones. And so many people, especially young people, they cannot get off of their phones. They cannot get off of their phones, and they can't get away from their screens. They rise up early in the morning so that they may follow. This is drinking and so on, and partying, but I want to extend it to amusement. What is the word muse? What does it mean? To think deeply, to consider with great effect. That's what musing means. You put an A in front of it, it means exactly the opposite. Amusement. What is this society, especially with our cell phones, what are we consumed with? Even workers on the street that I pass by that are working for the city, if they're holding on to a shovel, they're looking at their phone. Amusement has frozen the God-given ability to think and to ration, in my opinion. They raise up early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue into the night until wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and the flute. Read that, entertainment. What has wrenched the attention, wrestled the intention of especially our young people and everybody who has a cell phone? It's this. It's entertainment. And wine are in their feasts, and it goes on. Look at verse 13. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Amusement. Their honorable men are famished. That means men gifted by God to lead people have been utilizing those same gifts to enrich themselves. And so the public square is largely absent of men and women of integrity. That is a symptom that a nation has been given over. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Verse 18, please. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity. This is an idea of putting your sin on a cart and drawing along down the street. It's almost like you're saying, there is no God, because look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing, and I'm even putting it on a float. Are you familiar with many communities who have a gay pride parade? What do they pull down the street? Various floats, and in some communities, on the floats themselves, are men enacting sexual acts. On a float. One more time. Woe to those who draw sin with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope, and they say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. There is no God. Look at what we're doing. And he is silent. See, there's no God. And they are ignorant of the fact how patient and how merciful is a loving God for them. Verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Do I have to expound upon that? Right, even in the vernacular, the young people, if it's really cool, they don't say cool anymore, it's sick. Who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that is happening even in our school systems. Trying to teach these kids along lines that God has specifically said is sin. Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. This is intellectualism. Remember how much trouble Israel got into when they did what was right in their own eyes? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men, verse 22, mighty in drinking wine. Is there a certain pride at how much people can excess in? Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe. This is saying perverse justice. Do we see that in America? Now, verse 25. How, what awful state is Israel in at this juncture? About as low as it can go. Now, watch that. With that, watch this. And verse 25, please. And for all of this, therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills tremble, and their carcasses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. Now, that hasn't happened yet. It's about 100 years away, but it's going to come in the form of King Nebuchadnezzar. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Is America in the scriptures? Yes, and a number of other locations. But most glaringly, in my opinion, America is here in chapter 5. In Harvest Family Fellowship, Burning Man evacuating the playa. I found out in front of our church this weekend crystals set out in front of the building. Somebody who's, in their mind and estimation, is making mojo, you know. They're doing the hubbity hubbity, whatever they're doing. And in their mind, they have placed a powerful whatever that they think. Now, that doesn't bother me. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's the devil. Harvest, I wanted you to know that. I don't know if that happened for every church, but I know it happened for this one. That there are people that the enemy has energized to think about Harvest Family Fellowship specifically, and this pastor, and his family, and some of you. The enemy believes that Harvest Family Fellowship is a potential roadblock for what it wants to accomplish in this city. And they're coming after us. For many of you, this has been some of the most difficult, challenging season you've ever had. I believe that Jesus is soon to return. Isaiah 30 now, please. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children of Israel, says the Lord, and if you will allow, woe to the rebellious America. Woe to the rebellious Washoe County. Woe to the rebellious Reno and Sparks. Now, you know that people drive for hours to come here and sin. You know that, right? Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They get the smarter they are, the stupider mistakes they make. They're in real big trouble. Now watch this. Look at verse 15 now. Remember, God's hand is outstretched still. It's like the Lord is reaching out to anyone who will take it. Will you take the hand of the Lord, Harvest, in prayer and intercession? Verse 15. So what do we do? Well, you got to say 55 Hail Marys and 45 Our Fathers or whatever. You have to earn. You have to sweat. You have to get on the treadmill to grab God's attention. No, you don't, Harvest. No, we don't. Watch. Verse 15. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and say it with me, rest, you will be saved. Marriages, businesses being attacked, churches being attacked. We do not have to break a sweat, Harvest. We do not have to break a sweat. in returning like we did tonight in worship, and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you, Israel, would not. You said, no, for we are going to have horses. And it goes on. Verse 21. If we can ask God for his forgiveness for me first, search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Then you will lead me in the way of everlasting. Then you'll drop eternal truths into my heart. And then I will be able to pray and minister with great effect. Watch this. Verse 21. Then your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, inferences, a whisper. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Well, we've already blown our study tonight. Might as well continue. Romans chapter 1, please, everyone. Are you okay with the little pastor's heart and pastor's wife's heart are heavy? Not in a bad way, but we are appreciating the gravity of the moment in which we're living. I pray that all of us are. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Let's start with verse 18. Actually, verse 17. Verse 17, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Doesn't say the just shall live by goosebumps. Does not say that the just will live by powerful worship times and dazzling lights and a typical Laodicean church sort of presentation that the pastor's job is to ramp up the people's emotions for some end or some effect. No, the just shall live, and if you will allow me, by just keep showing up. The just shall live by just keep showing up. Now verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We covered this a couple Sundays ago. Suppress the truth is they're working really hard. The wind of God's direction is blowing this way, and they're all, no. And they're standing ramrod straight. No. It is hard work sometimes to resist that hand stretched out still. But people do it. Sometimes people have closed off their minds so much that God is going to give them over. Watch this, verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them. Remember, we saw that last week in Solomon knew that. Even in his backslidden state, Solomon knew that God puts eternity in every single heart. And that is absolutely true. There's not a person who has ever lived that hasn't had a notion there is a God, there is a creator. Bible says so right here. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How? Well, they're understood in the things that are made. And we talked about that, if you remember. There are times, maybe it's a snowfall, maybe it's a soaring sunset, whatever it may be, the death, the birth of your firstborn, whatever it might be. There are times when God absolutely intersects your stubborn thinking and shows you again that there is a God and he is knocking on the door of your heart right now. It happens. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Everyone God has poured out on multiple occasions that he is there and that he loves them and has a purpose and a plan for them. People who say no enough times, watch what happens. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts were darkened. We saw that in Romans 8, verses 7. A carnal mind is enmity with a holy God, hates God. Think about that. Too many churches have said, how do we get the non-saved in the building? How do we attract them? They forget Romans 8, verse 7. Don't do that. Because if you lower, as it were, take the crosses off the wall, sing whatever, then I don't have to tell you what they're doing, but too many churches are doing it. And then they're attracting a crowd of people who are driven by their flesh. That's what attracted them, was the baubles that their flesh went, ooh. But what does Romans 8, verse 7 say? A carnal mind is enmity against God, hates God. And he cannot do the will of God. And too many churches don't know that. Their foolishness and their hearts were darkened. Verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. We saw that in Isaiah 5. And they changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made of corruptible man. Those are your idols. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things, and I wrote in my Bible, and monkeys. Verse 24. Because God cannot get through their hard hearts, look what happens. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. He's taking his hand away. Enemy is getting more access. Hearts are becoming hungrier and hungrier for sin. And then the last sin is not goosing me like it used to, so I have to intensify it. And it gets worse. Therefore, God has given them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their body among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And that's why we save spotted owls and whales and not babies. Who is blessed forever? Amen. Verse 26. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Here's another increment of God taking off. That beautiful conviction of sin, what you shouldn't be doing, of righteousness, what you should be doing, and that there is a judgment day coming, and what are you going to do on that day when you stand before the Lord? God is taking that away. Enemy is rushing into the void. God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. This is lesbianism. You can write in your margin there, Leviticus 18, verse 22. God says very specifically, don't do that. And then, you know, any of us ever talk about this stuff in real life and even in line or online, are we opening up ourselves to the passionate disagreement of a community that believes opposite? Yes, we are. Because that side is supernaturally empowered and impassioned. Likewise, verse 27, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error of which is due. Does Pastor Steve hate gay people? Of course not. Take out homosexuality and put in lying. Take out lying and putting in lust. Take out lust. Do you see what it is? Anything that because I'm saying no to God so consistently, God takes me at my word and he pulls away his hedge of protection and in is rushing all of this stuff. Any sin, God says, is very bad for you. It's not my best. Stay away from it. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over now to a debased mind. Do you see the progression? Uncleanness, and now it's vile passion, and now their brains are consumed with this sin, a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, just mean things happening. Is it just me, or have you sensed out there in Reno Sparks, as a rule, there is a maliciousness that seems to be practically palatable? Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and the whisperers, slanderers. You've just described 95% of all television programming right there. It sells. Backbiters, haters of God, violent. And that's what happened in Georgia today. Proud boasters, inventors of evil things. I kind of think that the internet is right in there somewhere. Remember Jesus said it'll be like it was in the days of Noah? When Jesus returns for his church, what was the days of Noah like? Men's heart were evil continually. And I believe with the smartphone and the internet, how available is garbage to anyone who has an appetite to consume it? And what are they consuming? Men's hearts, morning to night, because of the cell phone and the advancement of the internet, in my opinion, is evil continually. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. I understand that the shooter in Georgia is 14 years old. God only knows what he has had to survive. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, how do people know that there's a judgment? Because God has put it in their heart, that's why. That those who practice such things, do Christians sin? Yes, we try not to, but here's the difference. When we do sin, hopefully it breaks our heart, because it sure breaks the heart of the Father. But if you practice these things, if whatever my favorite sin is, I do it without even thinking about it, and frankly, it doesn't bother me. We saw it on Sunday, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The carnal man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, they're foolishness to him because they're spiritually understood. And when somebody says to a brother or a sister, A, B, C, and that brother or sister fires back something so not scriptural, is it because they are carnally minded according to the scriptures? Yeah. There's a good possibility they may be practicing something. Those who practice such as things, they are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice those things. It wasn't that long ago that many of the things that now have legal protection used to be codified in various legal systems as against the law. Now, my point is not to promote bullying, because that did happen. Were people unduly awful to people who were struggling with various sins or lifestyles? Yes. And what does God think of that? He hates that too. But have you noticed that as a nation, not only do we do these things, but we approve and promote them? Romans chapter 1 is a snapshot of a society that has already been given over. Isaiah chapter 5. But his hand is outstretched still. Lord Jesus, we don't need another church service. What we need, Lord God, is to be broken by my own sin and I need to be broken by the sin of this city of Reno and Sparks. The homeless, Lord God, whose bodies are literally frozen with this horse tranquilizer that is permeating our streets. They call them living zombies. If that does not move me, Lord, then, Lord, please break my heart. What am I supposed to do about it? I don't know. But begin with prayer. Have the decisions of many homeless individuals come about because of their continued decisions? Perhaps. Not my job to figure all that out. My job is to be broken by what sin has caused. And Lord Jesus, I pray that this shepherd and that this family of God in Jesus' precious name is broken by the things that break your heart. Lord, in my YouTube wading in, and I weep softly at the dodo animal rescues, and in other words, oh, look at those poor puppies and so on, and rightfully so. There are humans and some families who are in as devastated a state as those animals. And Lord God, if I can find in myself the brokenness, Lord, over the cruelty to animals, and rightfully so. Lord Jesus, 4 humans have been slaughtered in Georgia. 2 of them students. 2 of them teachers. Who took the job because it was in their heart, because they wanted to help kids. They did not get up this morning expecting to slip into eternity. Yet nonetheless, in eternity they are. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that they were saved. Knowing you, Lord God, and how you go in front of these things, surprising to us, but not to you. Lord, your character is such, and usually the stories come out later, about those families that you knew were going to be impacted in the most profound ways, you moved in their hearts. And often stories come out later, sometimes years later. I'm thinking of, what was her name? Rachel, and I can't think of her last name. The girl who, those shooters in Colorado, and he came up and raised a weapon and said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Yes, I do," and was shot. And later, as they were rearranging the furniture in her bedroom, they found a diary. And if I'm remembering correctly, dated that day, "Lord Jesus, I want to stand for you today." She did. And now that ministry has been responsible for going into schools and hundreds of thousands of professions for Christ because of her father and the family in that ministry. Today it is an unimaginable, unspeakable tragedy, Lord God, what happened in Georgia. But Lord, I know you and I know your character. You have gone before and you have placed in the path of every one of those families impacted with great and powerful resources. So Lord, we do lift them up and we pray in Jesus' name, please minister. Take what the enemy has intended for terrible destruction and discouragement and do what you do, Lord. Turn it around for your glory. But yet again, Lord, here is a nation that is saying and crying aloud, we cannot protect our children. And the answer is not necessarily gun reform. If my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked sin, I would hear from heaven. I would forgive them their sins and I would heal their land. Oh, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, are you searching, America, for one, just one who would stand in the gap and build a wall of intercessory prayer for our governor, for his cabinet, for our legislature, for Washoe County, for Reno City Council, for Sparks City Council, for this presidential election, Lord God, and for those inside the Beltway of D.C. In Jesus' name, Lord, we are standing on your promise that says your hand is outstretched still. We grasp your hand today, Lord. And at 350 South Rock Boulevard, we ask in Jesus' precious name, pour out repentance. In Jesus' precious name, pour out revival. And very likely it won't be the revival that any of us would describe. It would be revival of people broken for sin. Broken for sin. We pray for our mayor, Lord, of Reno. We pray for our mayor of Sparks. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for our city councils of Reno and Sparks. We pray, Lord God, for our first responders, our police officers, their captains and leaders. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, for our fire department and their leaders and captains and lieutenants. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for Washoe County School Superintendent, new on the job this year. We've been through a ton of them. Not sure why Washoe County is grinding up the superintendents, but we pray that this one, Lord God, would have a spirit of King Cyrus. That God could say from heaven, I used you even though you didn't know me. I call you by your name, this superintendent of Washoe County Schools, even though you didn't know me. And we pray, Lord God, for every Christian teacher, every Christian support staff, principal, administrator, Lord, for our kids, because our Washoe County School District is in desperate need, Lord, of supernatural protection. Thank you, Lord, for those trained on our campuses, Lord God. But even their training and their bravery is not going to be the difference if the enemy is putting together a full onslaught into our community. So we ask, Lord, the few of us in this room tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, raise a hedge of protection around our schools. We don't deserve it. But Lord, we are crying out, you said if there was one that would put up a wall, I would have done it. So in Jesus' name, Lord, put a wall around our schools. In Reno and Sparks in the valleys, Lord, put a wall around our schools in Jesus' name. Whatever the enemy is trying to put into motion against our kids, thwart it in Jesus' name. We do not trust in horses or chariots. Our strength is in the living God. And Lord God, we pray. We pray for Excel Christian School. We pray for King's Academy, Lord Jesus. There's a Christian school in our midst, and they're struggling financially. We pray for them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Harvest Family Fellowship and every other church in our Truckee Meadows. Please, Lord, in the name of Jesus, guard our churches. Guard our parking lots. Guard, Lord God, our buildings from crystals and all the other things. Guard us, Lord, and put powerful warrior guardian angels with flaming swords in every church parking lot in our city. You looked for just one in Babylon. I pray that you find several, Lord, in Reno Sparks. That's our study tonight, Lord, and that is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.